All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
You heard a beat behind me. Deadline's over. Thomas Hurdle is a Vegas Golden Knight. Carter, I'll give you the first word. Wow.
How? And wow. Again, Vegas, just unbelievable. You know, I think the best was the meme I saw, Kevin Nash in the WWE, where he rolls up in the wheelchair with the broken leg and he's Mark Stone. He rips the blanket off and gets out and starts wrestling. So this is wild. What they do in Vegas is unbelievable. Adding a player like Thomas Hurdle is a game breaker. He can win you hockey games on a team that is already star-studded. I don't know where he fits in this lineup, but anytime you can add a player like that, it's amazing. This is a great, great add. This is Vegas is looking to run this thing back, and they just made a huge splash.
Well, look, you've got Barbashev up on the top line right now, Carter, with Jack Eichel and Marchessault. You've got Mantha on the second line with Stevenson and Carlson. I mean, either of those guys would be candidates to move down your lineup, maybe into the third line. I mean, wow. I mean, I've got the Daily Faceoff website up right now, and I'm looking at this forward group. I mean, what an embarrassment of riches. For Bruce Cassidy, you add Mantha, the size, the straight line speed. You add Noah Hanifin, this year's prize defenseman at the deadline. And then at 157, here comes Thomas Hurdle. Wow. Like, I mean, this is why Vegas is great. And this is our look, Tyler, this is the criticism of Ken Holland right now. Okay. Like, why not think about today and today only? Because that's what Vegas is doing. Because they're going to have a cap problem in the offseason. No doubt about that. But you know what? They're going to deal with it in the offseason. They're not thinking about that. They are thinking about another big shiny trophy, okay, and more cup parties on that Las Vegas strip. How exciting. Bruce Cassidy is probably doing jumping jacks right now. He's got to be absolutely thrilled in Vegas.
I mean, we were sitting here wondering, oh, wow, could they make a big splash for Buchnevich? Are they in the mix for Riley Smith in a reunion? And they just go and blow the doors off it by getting Tomas Hurdle from the San Jose Sharks. An in-division deal. Again, keep it locked. The second Frank has the news on the return, we will pass it along to you. But that is...
Are you okay? I'm worried about you because it seems like someone just rained on your parade right now, Tyler. Like, are you going to be okay? Is the office in Edmonton okay?
Yeah, I worry about everyone sitting out in that main room right now. I mean, for me, just the hockey brain in me, I'm looking at cap friendly. I'm looking at the assets Vegas has. I'm looking at San Jose moving on from Hurdle. Like, if they keep money, it's keeping money forever with this guy.
would Vegas even have the assets to make it worth keeping a significant chunk of money for that long? Like, it's just, it's a mind blowing deal to try wrap your head around in real time right now. I quite honestly can't believe it, man. This is a Vegas team, and we looked at the cup odds. If you want to head to Betano right now, I think it is smart money to take Vegas at 10-1, Carter, because their odds are going to skyrocket.
That was the first thing I thought about, was that Stanley Cup board you sent me earlier. Not even on that board. Now look at them now. This is a good buy. And with their goaltending too, they have two good goalies that can play well. And man, I might come out of retirement. If they needed me, they could win a cup with me in net with this lineup. You know what I mean? Like, they just need someone to make sure they can get their gear tight and get out of the rink on time. This is a great hockey team, top to bottom. And it's got to be excitement in Vegas. Now I just got to convince the old lady that I need to go watch a game here.
Yeah, no kidding. It could be a potential long playoff run. And again, like, for a team that has been sputtering now for the last 14 to 20 days, barely putting together two consecutive good hockey games at any point. And what does that management do? They say, don't worry, we got you guys covered. We'll go give you Noah Hanifin. Oh, look, now you have a blue line with Hanifin, Petrangelo. If Martinez is back for the playoffs, obviously you can't forget Shea Theodore. Like, that top four McNabb, is unbelievable.
I mean, it's insane.
Give us AB. Give me the forward lines here for Vegas. Like, again, Marchessault, Eichel, Barbashev. Now you're what? Going to run a second line that's Manta, Stevenson, Hurdle? What team can handle that in a best of seven playoff series? They will grind you down, and they'll grind you down to a paste, man. It's wild to now see how, again, transformative. Even, like, let's just go through the, maybe they're not doing anything funky with Stone. And I should say, they're not doing anything funky with Stone. Let's say he doesn't come back for the playoffs. Doesn't matter. Hurdle in this forward group still makes them one of, if not the best.
But how about this, Carter? If Stone does come back, okay, let's look at the other side of that. Now you've got, what, Nicholas Waz out of the lineup? A guy you lean on? Like, Carlson goes down to your third line. Where's Eichel going with Stone? Like, it's
crazy depth. And I just think from a goal, I'm sitting here as a goalie not far removed from the league, going into games where I've played in situations where, like, okay, we're going into Tampa Bay. Okay, who am I watching out for? Who am I being, you know, awareness when teams step on the rink? Who's on the ice? You know, there's obviously the power play, but we're talking 5-on-5 hockey where your top three lines, there's seven players that can beat you from anywhere that are goal scorers, that have depth, that have value. So it's just the challenge of just kind of trying to match lines with the Vegas Golden Knights heading into the playoffs is going to be an absolute challenge moving forward. This depth is awesome. And then that's not even talking about their back end, the depth they have there. This is just up front, the challenges that it's going to face trying to match lines with this Vegas team now, adding Hurdle right now at the deadline.
Daily Faceoff Live Trade Deadline Special is brought to you by DoorDash. 25% off, zero delivery fees on your first order of $25 or more. Just use the promo code NATION25 to take advantage of that. We are cruising here. The deadline is passed, but if you're watching on the YouTube or on Twitter, commercial free, big shout out to the nearly 90,000 of you tuning into the program right now. We're also live on the Game Plus Network, and we will be right up until 3:30 Eastern time. We heard, again, one of the things we're going to be tracking, not just the Thomas Hurdle news. He is a Vegas Golden Knight. If you're just tuning in, other things we're keeping an eye on, which teams are coming in as officially done. That will start to come over the next few minutes here. One team, Frank already reported, the Oilers have closed the computers. The laptops are shut, pencils down. Edmonton is set. Vegas, obviously, certainly not. Man, guys, honestly, I'll just be honest. This Hurdle thing has blown my mind. I can't concentrate on, like, anything else. That is just such an absolute stunner to come in right now. But anyways, any other teams you guys are looking at and going, boy, like, just for the sake of their fans, even, I'm hoping they got something coming in late. Carter?
You know, I'm not too sure at this point. I know we touched on the Rangers. I think they're done. But, you know, for the Leafs, I would have liked maybe seeing one more piece, you know, just to solidify that, just with the star-studded power they have at front. I know they've added a few pieces on the back end, but just not really a difference maker. So I think they're really counting on, in that Leaf land, you know, Domi and Bertuzzi in that bottom six, getting to that playoff level where they can really adjust and help the core four up front make a difference. So that's kind of the team that I'm watching, because I've been watching them closely this year. And I just think with Austin Matthews, you know, they just haven't done enough to push this team over the top, especially in the Atlantic Division, where I would put the Bruins clearly ahead of them and definitely the Florida Panthers.
Yeah, I think those are all fair calls, Carter. Here's a team I'm kind of curious about because I didn't see them do anything today. That's the New York Islanders. And right now they've got 70 points. So they're two games. They've got two games in hand on Tampa and they're 2 points behind. They're 4 points behind the Flyers with two games in hand. They're on a West Coast road trip right now with many winnable games. I believe Johnny Laz on our show said they should easily win 4 out of 6 when he broke it down. And for once, I actually agreed with him because he was saying something that wasn't nonsense. So I'm just curious, like, they didn't seem to be at all active today. They didn't seem to want to bolster anything today. I don't remember seeing anything come across the board for anything that they did. Obviously, their big deadline move or was probably Patrick Waugh bringing him in and putting him behind the bench. But, you know, you always wonder to see if a team's going to give a little bit of help, Tyler. And I don't remember seeing the Islanders do anything. Here's a question that I have for you, Tyler, and this might be more of a Frank question, and maybe if he can get to it at some point. Did anything ever ended up transpiring with Phil Kessel? Because I think if I understand the rules correctly, he would have had to sign today, wouldn't he have, by a certain time? And Frank's letting us know right now. So Phil Kessel never signed with the Vancouver Canucks. I think everybody just assumed that was basically a done deal, but obviously it did not work out. They did not sign him. So that was a question that I had. So I would just assume that's probably the end of a really impressive career for Phil Kessel, a guy who's just done so many different things and been such a fun personality, you know, kind of on and off the ice, the whole Phil the Thrill and the hot dogs and the hair and you know, the jokes. So if it is it for Phil Kessel, you know, hell of a career for him. He's a USA Hockey legend, an incredible goal scorer, a winner. And it's sad to see that it didn't work out for him there in Vancouver.
All right, the trade deadline has passed. We're about 10 minutes post-deadline now, but remember, deals can continue to pour in. Backup at Central Registry, whatever you want to call it. Trades can still come. We're going to keep hunting down the return on Thomas Hertl as he is a Vegas Golden Knight. We ended the deadline season with an absolute stunner. Colin Miller also, just because they kind of got lost in the shuffle there. The Devils and Jets hooked up for their second trade of the day, veteran defenseman Colin Miller going to Winnipeg. As we wait for those results and a few other things, we might have one more guest joining us on our Tim Hortons guest line as well. But let's go back through the top 20 here and look at who has or hasn't been moved yet. Starting in the top 5, Toffoli from New Jersey to Winnipeg. Riley Smith at number 2. Nothing yet. Max Pacioretty, as Frank reported, staying put. That's why we grayed out his name. Washington holding on to the veteran winger. Jordan Eberle re-signing 2x4.75 with the Kraken. Pavel Buchnevich is the big name winger with St. Louis, who comes with term. Nothing on that front so far. Numbers 6 through 10 on the list that have not moved. Dowd, Johansson, Vetrano, and Chychrun still not traded. Again, all four of those guys coming with term. Matt Dumba from the Yotes to the Bolts. It is Dumba in the 7th to Tampa Bay for a 5th rounder. They continue to eat up the LTIR space that they had with the Mikhail Sergachev injury. Number 11, Tyson Barrie. Again, waiting. Would be surprising, though, if Nashville didn't find a taker for him. But again, that contract could very well have been a sticking point. Jason Zucker goes from Arizona to Nashville for a late-round pick. They absorb his entire contract. Eric Brandstrom in Ottawa still on the board. Jake Allen joined our show earlier on in hour number 3. He goes from Montreal to New Jersey. So the Devils, some would say similar to the coaching change, maybe a little too late. Jacob Markstrom still on the board in Calgary. 16 through 20 quickly to wrap up our recap or our look back at the top 20. Alex Nedeljkovic having a good season in Pittsburgh. Alex Carrier, David Savard, those three still on the board. Two veteran forwards who did get moved. Kyle Okpozo from Buffalo to Florida, getting a chance to play playoff hockey. Pat Maroon from Minnesota to Boston. He goes to a playoff lock in the Bruins and will chase a 4th career Stanley Cup. So there's your look back at Frank Saravalli's top 20 of the trade targets board. It was a list that went 50 deep. And boy, We sat still for a lot of today, gentlemen. It was by no means a riveting action-packed deadline, but some of the deals we did get were substantial, including the one at the very end between two Pacific Division rivals in the Vegas Golden Knights and the San Jose Sharks. Outside of that hurdle move, Colby, did anything else surprise you today in terms of activity? Was there one of these moves that, like, for me, I really didn't expect the Jets to go out and make another significant splash. Them getting Toffoli is a clear sign that Kevin Cheveldayoff, he's turned over a new leaf. He's aggressive now.
Yeah, I think that was one that caught me off guard, but I think maybe one that caught me off guard that didn't happen, and I gave a pretty strong opinion on why I thought Frank Vatrano should be traded earlier in the show, but I thought that was a little bit of a miss. I really did. I thought, you know, maybe you go out, you trade Vatrano, maybe you try to pick off another team's top prospect or top five prospect. I think Frank has had a phenomenal season, but you look at, you know, his career in total, and you look at the payday he's probably heading towards with this good season in this environment, like Carter has talked about a little bit in other situations, you're playing with house money in Anaheim, right? It's a stress-free environment. You're able to, you know, cheat for offense. You're not expected to win. So I just thought, you know, maybe his value would have been at its highest, but also everything we've seen and heard about today was that it was much more of a buyer's market and not quite a seller's market. So maybe it's a deal that happens in the off season. But ultimately I thought someone would overpay and try to bring in Vatrano because of the hot hand, Carter. A little bit surprised that it didn't happen.
Yeah, I think there's just value in holding a guy too, right? In that sense of, you know, you trade a guy who is a goal scorer. He's proven it year in, year out now. You know, you get him. It's not like you can just go replace him easily in free agency. And you want to have a competitive team so these younger guys get a chance to, you know, show what they have and stuff like that. So I think it's one of those ones, you know, it's a trade you didn't make, but at the same time, you know, maybe it happens in the summer. Maybe it happens later. Or worst case, you end up with a good goal scorer on your team that guys can learn from.
Just got to hop in quickly. Frank has the hurdle return. Let's go to the Wendy's Insider Cam. Frank?
Yeah, so we were waiting on that return for Tomas Hertl, and Darren Dreger nailed it, as he usually does with connections in Vegas. And it's David Edstrom, their 2023 first-round pick, a first-round pick in 2025, a third-round pick in 2025, and a third-round pick in 2027. And the San Jose Sharks are retaining 17%. They're retaining 17% for 6 years. It's almost $8 or $10 million in real cash that they are retaining on their cap. So they have Tomas Hertl for 6 years retained salary, Erik Karlsson for three additional ones, and Brent Burns for next year at 2.7. So if you're playing along, not only can the San Jose Sharks no longer retain any money this year with the deadline passed, but all of next season. So a significant return for the Sharks to be able to get off of Hertl's contract, a significant cap addition and price paid by the Vegas Golden Knights, and just an overall fascinating transaction. 6 years of Tomas Hertl at the age of 30 takes him to 36. So this is a whopper. It's, you know, on top of the Hanifin deal, we mentioned the idea of what the Golden Knights would be looking at for their cap picture moving on. I made this joke earlier in the week. The Vegas Golden Knights would run over their own mom if it meant having another chance at winning a second straight Stanley Cup. And so that's what they're doing. First round picks, future prospects, don't care. Cap situation next year, don't care. Let's try and chase another Stanley Cup. You love to see the aggression from the Golden Knights. And just a quick thing, there's so much percolating, and it's always fascinating as deals continue to trickle in here after the 3 p.m. deadline, what didn't happen. But multiple sources say the Boston Bruins today had a deal on the table to send Linus Ullmark to the Los Angeles Kings that did not cross the finish line. I don't know what the hangup was. I don't know if the Kings were on his no trade list. I don't know what the situation was, but apparently that was also a bit of a doozy of a deal. So lots of stuff to dissect and calls to be made, but lots of fun going on too. So I'll give it back to you guys. Tomas Hertl, Vegas Golden Knight.
fascinating to hear about deals that potentially didn't happen. We'll hit on that with Carter and Colby in a bit, but one more trip to the trade grades board with our boy Matt Larkin. It's brought to you by Betano, sports betting with fast withdrawals and cash out and great odds for live betting with live scores and live streaming. Play responsibly, must be 19 years of age or older. The game starts now at Betano.ca. Mr. Matt Larkin, a doozy, a bomb to end the day from the Bob Father. Let's slap some grades on this thing. Kelly McCrimmon in Vegas, Mike Greer in San Jose, link up for a blockbuster. How are you grading it out?
Oh, baby Tyler, let me just let my heart rate return to normal. This was fun. And I'm just hearing the Star Wars Imperial March in my head for Vegas right now. Dun, 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 dun. It's just, it's awesome. These are villains. I love it. And I love seeing the complaining out there. To me, it's just jealousy. It's whining. Half the league is operating in LTIR, people. This is not just a Vegas thing, but it's sort of pinned on them that they are these masterminds. Tampa Bay did it when they won the cup. Chicago did it the year Patrick Kane broke his collarbone. A lot of teams do it. So I just love the idea that there is this rising superpower villain that is drawing the ire of everybody around the league. That's just the emotional element of the trade. The actual hockey element, I love it for Vegas. It's an A+. I don't think we have to look at it through the lens of the future. That's not what Vegas is doing. These are the defending Stanley Cup champions. They are stacking their roster. You're now in a scenario where I guess Nicholas Waugh is going to be your fourth line center. William Karlsson is going to be your number three. This team is just absolutely loaded up the middle. I assume we're going to get to see Thomas Hertl coming back from that knee injury relatively soon because he needs to get broken in and get acclimated to this team a little bit before the playoffs start. But obviously it just increases the likelihood that we're not going to see Mark Stone until the playoffs start. At the same time, Tyler, can you fake a lacerated spleen? I know people love their conspiracy theories. I'm not buying it. I think Vegas is just managing everything brilliantly, and they send out David Edstrom. If you look at the history of Vegas's prospects, how many have they kept? I think Brendan Besson is the only one left among their first rounders, whether it's Zach Dean, whether it's Nick Suzuki, Eric Branstrom, the list goes on, Cody Glass. They just don't care. I know I'm rambling, but there's a lot to process here, Tyler. So I love the idea that Vegas is just operating in the present, which is what so many GMs are afraid to do. What are you in this business for? You're trying to win the Stanley Cup. That's what Vegas is doing. I respect it a lot. A+. If you look at San Jose perspective, I agree with what Frank said. The salary retention, that's a lot of retention for 6 years. At the same time, you're still moving off 83% of that cap hit, which was north of $8 million. Thomas Hertl is quietly, it feels like he's younger. He's 30 years old already. So San Jose, to me, they're continuing to transition into a true rebuild. You get a good prospect in a first rounder, Edstrom, good two-way center, good size. That's a nice building block. You get another first round pick. So I think you have to commend the Sharks for moving in the right direction as well, recognizing they had an opportunity to move a key piece, but to really get some building blocks going forward. So that's a B+ for San Jose, factoring in that long retention. A+ for Vegas. Again, big rant here, Tyler, but this is a big trade to process. You got to give me my space here. That's the grade. What do you think, sir?
I agree with you, man. I love Vegas's F it, we ball attitude, man. Like, how can you not? If you're a Golden Knights fan, why do you care? Like, I know, like, Pittsburgh Penguins fans right now are sitting there going, oh, look at the hurt we're going through. But it's like, no, you got all those rings. You wouldn't trade those rings for anything. If you're Vegas, there's hurt coming. Sure. Cross that bridge when you get there. For now, enjoy these runs and enjoy a GM who goes for it every single step of the way. I do like that San Jose found a way to get some big assets as well. I do think that is a very, very important part of this. To Matt, you did a fantastic job today with trade grades, man. Really enjoyed having you on the show, and thanks for doing all these.
You're a machine, Tyler. Great job today, buddy.
There's our managing editor and senior writer, Daily Faceoff, Matt Larkin. Let's get back to our main panel one last time with Carter Hutton and Colby Cohen. Carter, yeah, we've broken down the Hertl deal significantly now. Frank dropped that nugget. The Bruins had a deal on the table for Linus Ullmark. In your eyes, would it have been a mistake or a good move to part ways with Ullmark? I know the package would have obviously been a determining factor here and all of that, but do you think the Bruins would have been wise to move on from Ullmark ahead of the deadline?
I don't know. That's a tough trade to give up. You know, I know there's always the fact of the way Swayman plays, and he's been playing really well as of late. But, you know, for me, Linus Ullmark is such a star goalie, and he still has room to grow. And it's one of those ones where, you know, I spent 3 seasons with Linus, and I think he's really matured into the individual he is now. And, you know, he's a family man too. So I think there's obviously he had that no trade or modified trade clause in his contract. And I think the last thing he probably wanted is to rock the boat with his family, with his young kids, you know, having to be moved. And at the same time, he probably loves being a Boston Bruin, which he shows. He wears it on his sleeve. He's a emotional guy and a guy I became great friends with, you know, over my years playing with him. So it's one of those ones, I guess the return is something, you know, without that trade happening, I think it's going to be one of those ones we're going to look back after the playoffs and be like, if it was a trade where maybe they could have got rid of him because Swayman played minutes, or, you know, it could come to the fact where Linus Ullmark could be the goalie that carries him to a Stanley Cup. So it's one of those ones I think we're going to have to reflect on in the moment, but right now it's just wild to think that he was even out there and available to be moved and know how aggressive the Bruins were trying to be.
And again, the confusing stuff going on with the Bruins and their cap picture right now. So we're going to wait to get some clarity. Maybe they have one more coming down at the chute here. Colby, I want to ask you about that Ullmark nugget that Frank gave us. But from the flip side, this would have turned the Kings, in my opinion, from a bubble team, like bubble cup contender, to a legit cup contender. They might look back on this as the one that got away. That would have been unreal.
Yeah, it certainly would have, because you know, you're getting a number one goaltender in the NHL, and those guys are few and far between. And then you have Talbot, and that looks like it could have been a really good duo. You know, maybe some sort of 60-40 split between the two. We saw how good Talbot was, at least in the beginning of the season. But, you know, I'm just kind of curious, like, what would have been going back, because we've talked about the center position for the Boston Bruins, the fact that they were looking for more help offensively. You know, you got to think for Ullmark, you're bringing back a legitimate roster player type of move, and potentially even a prospect on top of it, depending on how good the roster player might have been. I mean, Alex Laferriere is a young guy, played at Harvard. So, you know, Don Sweeney probably watched him quite a bit playing at Harvard. Pure speculation there on a guy that he might have liked, but you look at the tradition and the history of Don Sweeney and players that he's brought in. You look at all the BU players on his roster. You look at Swayman is a Hockey East guy. That's a Maine guy. These are guys that are in his backyard, guys that he probably gets a lot of viewing on. And I know a lot of other GMs in the league, like Alex Laferriere, who's in his first season in the NHL. So I think it would have been a good decision for the Boston Bruins, because at the end of the day, once you get to the playoffs, yeah, I think you need a 1B, but I don't think you need two starting goalies to win in the playoffs. You need a good, legitimate number one with a serviceable backup who can come in like Scott Darling did for the Chicago Blackhawks at times for Corey Crawford in those playoff runs. So it certainly would have been a bombshell of a deal. I wonder if it was connected to the Andrew Peak thing and the math and this and that. Maybe there was a third party broker involved. Look, the cupboards are a little bit bare in Boston with prospects and draft picks. So maybe that's what they were looking to recoup. Who knows? But ultimately, it would have given us something to sit here and you know, riff about for the next 45 minutes or an hour and keep Tyler from being able to go to the bathroom or eat for another little while.
Yeah, I'm struggling a little bit in that regard as well, but we're slowly moving towards the end of the show. We might have a couple more trades trickling in here as we continue along with the program. I don't know if Frank's going to hop onto this one, but I did see that he just tweeted. It's a smaller move, so I can pass it along real quick. The Minnesota Wild have traded Connor Dewar to the Leafs in exchange for a mid-round pick. So not to steal Frank's thunder, but I know he's working on a lot of things behind the scenes right now. So just wanted to quickly get that across to everybody in the chat. Connor Dewar to the Leafs from the Wild, a pending RFA out of the Minnesota Wild, a guy who can slot into that Leafs bottom six and give them a little bit more center depth as well.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Well, it is 3:37 Eastern time. We're 27 minutes post-deadline. And as you can tell by what I just said, still some deals trickling in here on the Daily Faceoff Trade Deadline Special, not only streaming live on the Daily Faceoff Twitter and YouTube. Remember, hit that subscribe button, but also on the Game Plus Network, who we are very excited to team up with today on NHL trade deadline day. Fourth round pick in 2026, the return for Connor Dewar. Let's keep cruising along, gentlemen. And you know what? I think Aaron, our producer, who's done an unbelievable job today handling all the different things thrown his way. If you have the Betano Stanley Cup odds, can we maybe flash them up just really quick one more time? Then I want to float a question out to the guys, because where I wanted to go, what I had written in my notes, the last segment of the show, I was going to say flash up the Betano Stanley Cup odds, and then I'm going to tell you guys who you think improved their odds the most over the deadline. And you look at this and... guys, can you make a case for anyone but Vegas? Maybe give me who's second on your list of who improved their Stanley Cup chances the most so far with their deals at the deadline. Doesn't even have to be anyone on this Betano top 10. It could be anyone across the NHL. Putting Vegas aside, who else did the best work today, Colby?
It's probably the Carolina Hurricanes, I would say. You know, bringing in Jake Guentzel, bringing in Evgeny Kuznetsov. And look, I had a kind of make a quick split second decision, because I do want to continue to say that as good as Vegas did over this last couple of hours, I still think the pieces Colorado added were substantial. They got Sean Walker, they got Trennan, they got Mittelstadt. I'm forgetting one other trade that I'm pretty sure that they brought in, but they made a lot of substantial moves as well to really fortify their group. And they already have the top end superstars. They already have MacKinnon and Renton, and Landeskog hopefully skating will be back. So I would say, you know, it may be second place after Vegas. I would say it's a coin flip between the Carolina Hurricanes and the Colorado Avalanche, Carter. I don't know if you're riding with me on those two or if you think a little differently.
No, I like what you're going with there. I like Carolina for sure. I think as I look at this board, I start to view like a little bit off the board, right? Lower down teams. You know, you got to think about the Winnipeg Jets adding Tyler Toffoli. You know, that is just another added element on a team that has already had a lot of success, you know, moving forward. Obviously, Vegas not being the powerhouse they are now, adding that depth is going to be, you know, tough to deal with. I think there's a few teams that, you know, stayed pretty quiet today. You know, obviously, Bruins didn't make a move, but...
Sorry, just wanted to quickly hop in. I know we're getting close to the 3:30 Eastern mark. If you're watching on the Daily Faceoff YouTube or on the Twitter commercial free, no worries on that front. We're going to keep rolling with you as some deals break, but wanted to give one last shout out to our friends at the Game Plus Network for letting us broadcast on their platform today. It was a lot of fun. Thank you for picking up the extra half hour as well. We are going to let you go to commercial, but we're going to keep rolling here on the Daily Faceoff YouTube. Continuing along with the show, as I think we have one more stop to make on our Tim Hortons guest line, actually. So Colby, Carter, I'll get your final thoughts in just a second here, but let's head out to the Tim Hortons guest line. It is brought to you by Roll Up the Rim to Win. It's back for Tim Hortons' 60th anniversary. You can play on the Tim's app to win prizes. Daily cash jackpot of $10,000. That's just one of the great things up for grabs. A Volkswagen ID4, sun-soaked Hilton getaways. It's on now until March 31st. You can play by downloading the Tim Hortons app. Johnny Lazarus is the other half of Morning Cup of Hockey. Johnny, wanted to throw a couple questions your way because you're our Rangers guy. Scale of 1 to 10, how disappointed are Rangers fans in what Chris Drury did in this deadline period?
Well, first of all, Tyler, you've been killing it all day. I've been watching for the last few hours here, and you guys have been awesome. Frank as well, Colby and Carter. But yeah, I think there's a lot of disappointment in New York right now just with all the buildup that Colby thought he was getting away from me today. you know, with all the buildup going toward the deadline, I think a week ago, had you told Ranger fans, like, you know, yeah, we're going to get Gensel, I don't think anyone would have believed it. So last night, when all that hype comes out, it just gets, you know, people all riled up. And obviously last year we saw Patrick Kane come in, we saw Vladimir Tarasenko come in, and you're kind of expecting that sort of result on trade deadline day. But I think the biggest thing to take away from today is that the Rangers did get better. Are they the best team on paper in the East? No. But can they compete with Florida and Carolina, who are probably the two teams that are a bigger threat? I think so. That said, you know, it is a shame a little bit, because you thought you had a chance to really improve that top line with Sabanajet and Kreider. And it seems like Jack Roslovic will probably step in and be that first line right wing. I don't think it's worked out with Kaapo Kakko. So I don't know if Roslovic necessarily moves the needle. But we've seen in years past where you bring in like a Vetrano, a Kopp, a Mott, a Justin Braun, and they get to the conference final, as opposed to those bigger names. You know, sometimes it's the little moves that really end up helping out in the long run. So I'm not going to say this is a massive disappointment, but it's sort of a letdown, I guess, is the better word.
You don't obviously just cover the Rangers with Morning Cup of Hockey. You and Colby go all around the NHL. So let me end with this one now that the dust is settling on the deadline and you look at the Eastern Conference. Like, in the West, it's apparent who the true contenders are, who the teams are with Stanley Cup aspirations. Out East, who's in your inner circle? Who are the true Cup contenders in the Eastern Conference?
Well, I think it's definitely Florida at the top. I think a lot of people, again, though, are sleeping on Tampa. You know, we don't really talk about Tampa a whole lot in the regular season for whatever reason. They always find a way to ramp it up. Carolina, you can again say is a true contender. But I think Florida's in their own tier right now. And then you have like the Carolina Rangers and Tampa. And then, you know, maybe the Red Wings, maybe the Islanders, Toronto as well, Boston. I mean, I think Florida's in their own level. And then if someone takes down Florida, the thing's up for grabs. I'll put it that way.
There you go. Johnny Lazarus, Morning Cup of Hockey, Monday through Thursday, right here on the Daily Faceoff YouTube. So make sure you're subscribed. You guys get unreal guests like Hawks GM Kyle Davidson the other day, Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. You can also read his work at Daily Faceoff. Johnny, thanks for doing this, buddy.
Thank you, Tyler. Appreciate it. Give Colby a big, nice hug for me.
Oh, yes, I will. A virtual hug. There you go. Johnny Lazarus on the Tim Hortons guest line, brought to you by Roll Up the Rim. It's back for Tim's 60th anniversary and bigger than ever. Download the Tim's app today to play. You only got till March 31st, so don't waste any time. Go get a coffee in you. I drank roughly 2 liters of coffee today and haven't gone to the bathroom in nearly 5 hours. Let's get back to the main panel of Carter Hutton and Colby Cohen. Gentlemen, as we work our way towards the end of the show, I would like to also point out Carter is somehow the only one who got food brought to him during the program today. That seems wildly unfair. But Carter, your first deadline on the media side of things, what did you make of sort of the ebbs and flows of working a 4-hour deadline show?
Honestly, enjoyed it a lot. You know, I still got lots to learn. You guys are very knowledgeable when it comes to picks and the cap, and I'm constantly looking at my phone trying to check stuff. It's just weird being on the other side of it now, you know, texting players that I've played with and getting stories. And, you know, it's tough hounding guys because I've been on that side of it where people are looking for information. And I think it's just the way you go about it. And I guess it just shows my rapport I've had with people. So it's gone well. And honestly, I've enjoyed it. It's fun being on this side of it with less anxiety about how I feel about playing and the pressures that come with it. So it's fun to still be involved in the game. And, you know, just there's lots of room for growth here for sure.
Colby, let me ask you a deadline related question to wrap things up. And AB, if we can maybe go back to the top 10 of Frank Saravalli's board here. We talked about teams and who you were surprised wasn't quite as active, who we liked. We did all of that. Riley Smith doesn't go. Pavel Buchnevich, Max Pacioretty, 3 names in the top 5 don't go anywhere. I know Jordan Eberle got the extension as well in numbers 6 through 10 as well. Nick Dowd, Johansson, Vetrano, Chychrun, bunch of guys with the term don't go anywhere. Out of that top 10, who are you most surprised to staying put?
Well, let me just start with who I'm least surprised with, even though that wasn't the question, and that's Jacob Chychrun, because his name has been on the trade board and at the trade deadline just about every year of his entire career. So I'm probably least surprised that he got traded. I would say maybe Riley Smith. I probably would have thought with the winning pedigree, the Pittsburgh Penguins would have looked to have made a deal. But at the end of the day, like, I've been pretty underwhelmed with the work from Kyle Dubas. I really have. I don't think that he got the best return for Jake Gensel. I was really curious as to why there was no ability to talk extension before. Maybe there's a handshake deal that Gensel's coming back to Pittsburgh in the offseason. We rarely see that happen, but maybe that would have been the reason there. I'm familiar with some of the prospects that are available in the Carolina system because they are Hockey East college guys that I do watch and I do their games quite often. So I just would have thought he would have been more aggressive after getting an return for Jake Gensel. I would have called it quantity over quality. I would have thought he would have looked to have moved Riley Smith out and recoup something on him. So I would say that's probably my biggest surprise. Pacioretty, he controlled his own destiny. So less surprising there.
Yeah. I mean, you can throw the cap on me and call me Captain Obvious because they're the two higher names on Frank's board. But like for Pittsburgh, not if you're selling Gensel, you're selling. For them to not move on from Riley Smith here, even if it required biting the bullet and taking up a retained salary spot for the next year and a half, basically, I just think you should have done it and cashed in on that guy. Nothing's guaranteed. He's a little bit on the older side. Who knows what he'll even be at next year's deadline. If you could have gotten anything for value, I think the Penguins should have in this instance. And Max Pacioretty is the other one too, where I know the no trade clause, veteran guy, like there may have been other factors at play, but I was just surprised that, again, a team like even the Rangers didn't maybe back up a little bit more and try to make, maybe they did, but I'm surprised the Rangers didn't end up with a guy like Pacioretty. There were a handful of teams that I thought would have been a good fit. Carter, I'll throw this question to you to wrap. Who are you most surprised didn't go anywhere?
No, I think obviously maybe the hype with Jacob Markstrom. Obviously, it's nice to see a goalie get moved. Nedeljkovic was a guy. I'm really surprised Colorado didn't make a move in net. You know, with the team that they have and the wear and tear that's on Georgiev, you know, it's just something that I'm very surprised they didn't go out and find, you know, a veteran guy to come in and help that team. So those are the ones for me. I know Markstrom was one that was, you know, you weren't sure what was going to happen. And obviously the Jake Allen trade to Jersey, you know, filled that void a bit. I guess I'm a little disappointed that didn't happen a few months ago for Jersey, but Colorado's the team for me that's a bit glaring. And the Philadelphia Flyers, again, not adding someone to protect Earson. You know, he's a young guy. He's got a lot of weight on his shoulders, especially playing in Philadelphia, and he doesn't really have that veteran leadership behind him. So those are two teams I would have liked to add a little depth and experience to help out their goalies. But, you know, we'll see what happens. I guess time will tell.
Yeah. All right. Continuing along on the Daily Faceoff live show, we set out for 4 hours, but off the top, I told everybody we will not stop until the trades stop coming in. So we are going to be men of our words, gentlemen. I'm not letting you go anywhere because Frank Saravalli says he's got a couple more irons in the fire, things he is working on. And maybe what we'll do here is just go back through the deals we did get today and do a little trade deadline recap. So while we wait to get a couple of boards up, I'll once again tell you today's show is delivered by DoorDash. Dash that for the win and check out the new Double Dash feature, which allows you to put a second stop on your DoorDash order for no extra delivery fees. Dash that for the win with DoorDash. All right, the move started this morning. Obviously, late last night, the Canes added Jake Gensel. They got right back at it early on with Don Waddell going out and getting Evgeny Kuznetsov from the Washington Capitals in exchange for a 2025 third round pick. So the Canes add a couple of proven playoff performers and take a buy low risk on Evgeny Kuznetsov. The next deal we got in was a veteran forward in Kyle Okpozo, the captain of the Sabres, going to the Florida Panthers. A seventh round pick in 2024 that could go as high as a fifth rounder and a D-man involved in the deal as well. Another veteran forward, a younger forward was on the mix. Ben Myers going from the Avs to the Ducks for a fifth rounder in 2024. So Colorado had moved out a lot of mid to late round picks. They go and get one back for Ben Myers. Tyler Toffoli, the big first real big splash of the day. He was number one on Frank Saravalli's trade targets board. He winds up in Winnipeg. So it's Toffoli and Monahan as the big deadline adds for the Jets. The Devils get back a second and a third round pick in that deal. Continuing along, Pat Maroon was a veteran forward who we had heard rumbled along 20th on Frank Saravalli's board. He goes from Minnesota to Boston, late round pick, lower level roster player involved in that deal as well. Jason Zucker and his full cap it. That's significant in this. The Coyotes didn't keep any money here, and Nashville, because they could absorb that contract, they get him for a sixth round selection. Continuing along with our recap here, Jake Allen, we had him on the show to talk about going from the Habs to the Devils. He's going to get a chance to play meaningful hockey down the stretch and will hopefully stabilize this Devils crease. Montreal keeps 50%. They get a third that could become a second rounder as well. So again, big shout out to Jake Allen for joining us on the show. Eric Johnson, veteran D-man, things weren't going great for him in Buffalo. He goes to Philly. Again, Philly in the mix in the playoffs. They're third in the Metro. They give up a fourth for a little bit of insurance on the blue line. Things slowed down for a little bit at this point in deadline day, but we eventually got a couple more trades to wrap things up. Andrew Peak, a head scratcher, as Frank called it. He goes to Boston for a third round pick in 2027. Important note there. And Jacob Zboril. So the Blue Jackets add a couple of future assets there. And again, Boston, we might be waiting for something to come down the pipe there. Our friends at Cap Friendly talking about the dollars and cents that, quite frankly, don't make sense. Matt Dumba goes to Tampa Bay. They eat up a little bit more of Sergachev's LTIR money. They get a seventh with him. A fifth goes back to Arizona in that deal. He is a pending unrestricted free agent. Couple more. Jack Roslovic, the loan move today from the Rangers. He goes from Columbus to New York in exchange for a mid-round pick. So a couple of Metro teams hook up on a deal there. The big one, Thomas Hertl. Gets retained down at $6.75 million now for the remainder of that deal for Vegas. And it was a first-round pick and David Enstrom going the other way. We'll continue and circle back to that one in just a little bit. Connor Dewar for a fourth-round pick is the last deal that we have confirmed at this moment right now. The Leafs don't exactly stand fully still at the deadline, but they go and add Connor Dewar to round out their center a little bit. So there we go. We talked earlier, Carter, about some of the emotions going in to deadline day when you're on the player's side of things. You talked about chatting with Kyle Okpozo and his kids being upset he's no longer a Saber. And then Colby, I just saw you posted the Marc-Edouard Vlasic crying emoji on Twitter. I mean, it is a tough day. We sit here and I go and I rattle off the conditions and the picks and the cap hits, but Colby, a lot of teammates today, man, who will be feeling it, especially in San Jose. Like, I'd imagine it's tough to be going into that Sharks locker room right now as a vet.
Listen, I think we always forget the human element of this, and Carter illustrated it perfectly when he texted with Kyle Okposo earlier about, you know, the family moves of all this. And look, I was traded one time, not at the deadline. I think I was traded in November or maybe December. It was right after my first NHL call up. I play a couple games and I'm on my way to practice and my phone rings. Like, you're never really expecting it, especially as a young guy in an entry level deal. You're new to pro hockey. You just spent 3 years in college working with their development team, learning about the organization, going to camp in the summer, Tyler, and your phone rings and it's your GM. Thank you for everything. We traded you. Well, when I first got that phone call, you know, this is pre-Twitter, right? There were no, you know, people breaking these things on Twitter before they happened, but I got the phone call from Greg Sherman, I guess was the general manager of the Colorado Avalanche at the time, not the guy who drafted me. And he originally said, we traded you, but I can't tell you where yet because we haven't been able to get in touch with the other player or something. I don't remember it exactly, but I remember basically being told I was traded. And then I had to wait 5 minutes for another phone call to find out where I was actually getting traded to go to. So that was kind of, you know, my life, you know, pack up an apartment, got the car ready. You know, I had my my golden retriever Brady at the time. We put the TV and as everything we could fit. Ryan Stoa was my roommate at the time. I don't know if you remember Ryan Stoa. He was a Colorado Avalanche guy, ended up playing a pretty long career out in the Continental Hockey League in Russia. But, you know, you're up and you move. And I had a lot of friends on that Colorado team. My roommate from college, Kevin Shattenkirk, it was emotional. And then I go to the Boston Bruins. I go right down to Providence. I know one guy on the team. You never went to development camp with these players, rookie camps, this and that. So it was hard. It was emotional. I was fortunate to come back to the East Coast, obviously a place I was comfortable and familiar with, but it definitely takes time and it takes a human toll on you. And you feel like, why didn't these guys want me? Sure, someone else did want you, but in my case, it was a salary cap dump. They had to get rid of Matt Hunwick. He was making too much money, and they needed to clear room for Mark Savard to get back in. So it is a whole human side of it that's tough, and I'm sure you've got some stories too from your career, Carter, but I think people forget that, and That's why I think when you do see a player come to a new team, you need to give them a couple of weeks to settle in. These guys are living in hotels. They're without their families. They have to find a new place to have pregame meal. Meeting times could be different. Power play, penalty kill, whatever. You're routine based in hockey, and all of that changes when you get traded. So if you're a fan of one of these teams that just brought some new players in, take a deep breath and give it 2 to 3 weeks here before you start passing judgment on these guys, because their lives have all been upended.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I go back and forth with it, right? I sympathize with the guys that have families, or, you know, even if you're young, you get moved out, you're trying to find a new routine, you're in a hotel. I remember when I was playing in, I signed with the Hawks, I was on the East Coast, I was in AHL Rockford, I was living out of a hotel, and every time we left to go on the road, I had to unpack my hotel room and put it in my car because they didn't keep the room for me when we would go on the road. And those were some of the times I played my best hockey, when my back was to the wall. But I also sympathize with the player, but at the same time, I understand the fan standpoint, right? You're making a lot of money, and this is the life we chose too. So I always walk that line as I help mentor younger goalies, or goalies are at a level now where it's, you know, they're playing the OHL, NCAA, or in the minors. Like, this is the life you chose, and sometimes it's not going to be easy. Sometimes you're going to have to do stuff you don't like to do. There's an easy road, and you could go and do that career, but this is what you chose. So I always kind of walk that line, especially because I've got to live both. And I think for me, because of my career and because of the way that I had to earn everything I got, you know, not being a draft pick, not really being highly touted by any means. So I think there's a little bit of that sandpaper mentality where I come from in Thunder Bay, like blue collar, I went to work. And I always kept that in my perspective where, you know, when I was making lots of money and I did sign big contracts and I was having a tough day, I would always draw upon those other people in my life that, you know, were going to work doing things that, you know, some of my buddies are, you know, banging nails up when it's minus 30 out, and they're not calling in to complain about anything. So for me, dealing with these things, I always tried to keep that in perspective. So this is always one of those days that hits home with me, and how fortunate I am even to get a job like this. I get to sit around and hang out and talk hockey and be still involved with the game that I love and has granted me so much. So it's obviously a fun part being on that side of it, but at the same time, you know, there is the human side of it, and you know, your world can get turned upside down pretty quickly here today.
All right, gentlemen. This was a lot of fun to do today's deadline show with you, Colby Cohn and Carter Hutton. Both you guys, awesome work today. We were live for almost 5 full hours on the Daily Faceoff YouTube at different points. We had over 100,000 people tune into today's stream. So you too, Colby, thanks so much, man.
Appreciate you having me, Tyler. You're a champ, buddy.
Carter, great work today as well. Love the stories and appreciate you hooking us up with our guy, Jake Allen, as well. Great first deadline, Carter.
No problem. Least I can do. I used to keep Jake's gloves and skates dry when he was the best performer in Minnesota when we beat the Wild. So he owed me.
All right. Carter Hutton, Colby Cohn on our main panel. Big shout out to both of them for knocking it out of the park today. We're going to wrap up with one more stop in on the Wendy's Insider Cam. Their deadline offer is a good one. It's a win-win. $3.49 for 6-piece nuggets. Frank Saravalli. Let's wrap this thing up. You had one more trade in the hopper from the Calgary Flames. Did you want to pass that along quickly?
Yeah, it's a smaller one. The Flames are getting left shot defenseman Nikita Okadiuk from the San Jose Sharks. Whatever the Flames are paying their Russian scouts, it's not enough. These are the guys that the Flames have acquired in the last number of days. Nikita Okadiuk, Daniel Miromanov, Artem Grushnikov. Obviously, they get it. They got Andrei Kuzmenko as well a few weeks ago in the Lindholm trade. It's been a steady stream of Russians heading to Calgary, but I say that in jest. It's been a really interesting last 8 months for Craig Conroy, who today, maybe an hour from now, and for the first time in his career as GM of the Flames, can breathe a small sigh of relief. I think there's maybe one other trade in the hopper. I don't think we're going to keep everyone hostage to work on that, but what a fascinating day. I still, my jaw is on the floor. Did not hear, just full transparency, did not hear Tomáš Hertl's name one time leading up to the deadline. And everyone, and this is what happens when you assume, but for a player north of 30 who's injured, by the way, making north of $8 million a year, no one expects that player to move from the San Jose Sharks. And so I give the Golden Knights lots of credit, not just the aggression that they show, but just the ability to think a little bit outside the box. We've got this LTIR space here. Let's use it. and they just check out the board that Stephen Ellis just tweeted out a little bit ago. I threw it a retweet, but I think they've got one of their first round picks in their franchise history still under contract, and that's Brendan Brisson. They are as aggressive as it gets. And by the way, speaking of the connection to the Flames, that 2025 first round pick that they got now slides to 2026 as part of the conditions in that Hanifin trade. So the nice thing, I know a lot of people were making fun of the Flames for that condition. The nice thing is it goes from being top 10 protected to not protected at all. So on the off chance that a team that has traded its first round picks like candy somehow falls off the map in 2026, while the Flames are potentially there to reap the benefits of that.
Yeah, I mean, that is something we've seen play out with different deals in the past. I was thinking about that Eric Carlson trade, original one to San Jose, that was like that. Frank, I peppered Colby and Carter with a bunch of, you know, the generic deadline wrap-up questions, but I'll throw it your way. Which team surprised you the most with their inactivity today?
I would say the Los Angeles Kings. Now we learned a little bit more as I passed along. You know, they made all those machinations of trying to move around cap space. What was it for? Why did they end up doing nothing? Was Pierre-Luc Dubois authentically in play, as many had suspected? What happened with this deal with Linus Ullmark? I would add in the Colorado Avalanche, that 2024 first-round pick. They end up keeping their first-round pick. Interesting for a team that had a lot of different things in play. So that's another one. And then maybe on a different scale, the Vancouver Canucks, as we looked at that Western arms race, they were quiet today. They got their shopping done early, of course, with Lindholm. They were in the mix. Their GM, Patrick Alvin, just addressed the media a few minutes ago and said that they were in the mix on every player, every impact player that was on the board. So they were trying to make things happen. Patrick Alvin and his staff were grinding, and they just didn't. But I think they're still pretty well positioned, even though Carter Hutton called them a fraud.
Hey, I mean, I told them to make an enemy. I did put him in a pretty, that's a suicide pass when it comes to media to throw him that question. So I'll wear that one a little bit. All right, Frank, we're going to move towards wrapping this thing up, almost 5 hours straight on the air. And there are a lot of people that I have to give some shout outs to. First off, Matt Larkin and Stephen Ellis for all the work they did getting us ready for the show today. Larkin with the trade grades, Ellis popping in early to give us some prospect analysis and giving us a look inside the NHL draft. We are also joined by Ken Weeb from the Kenny and Rennie show, and also Corey Lavalette out in Carolina to give us some on the ground insight into a couple of teams who made big, big ads over the last 24 hours. Tyler Toffoli being one of the first big splashes earlier today. Johnny Lazarus swung by as well to talk a little New York Rangers. And of course, our behind the scenes crew, Liam Horobin, did a hell of a job directing this bad boy. Aaron Bordato hit every single correct button on the stream. Pat Puff was nails with the graphics as well. Brett Holden, Gavin Turnick, Vicken Paulation as well, who were doing a good job on the social front. And of course, our head of production, Amal Delich, who once again killed it. Frank, this was year three of us doing the trade deadline show. It is always a grind, but it's always a lot of fun to get this thing off the ground. And of course, the show would be nothing without our boy in the Wendy's Insider Camp, Frank Saravalli. Frank, you can go now sleep for what, 36 consecutive hours, I would imagine?
Yeah, I will sleep like a prince tonight.
Absolutely love it, Frank. Thanks again for all your great work today. And to everybody who tuned in on the Daily Faceoff YouTube, don't forget to hit that subscribe button. I got to slide that one in there one more time. All of our partners for today, Tim Hortons and Roll Up the Rim, Fountain Tire, Patano, and of course, Wendy's with the Insider Cam. The show was delivered by DoorDash, 25% off zero delivery fees with the promo code NATION25. That is it. We are wrapping up a marathon, nearly 5 hour stream on NHL trade deadline day. Thanks so much for tuning in. And don't forget, we're always back on Monday at noon Eastern. Deadline day has come and gone. Teams have established themselves, Vegas, as legitimate Stanley Cup contenders. Enjoy your weekend, hockey fans, and exhale. Deadline day is over.
Thank you. Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
All right, hockey fans, listen up because we've got something special coming your way this playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and let me tell you, it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game day, you're going to be faced with four questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle. And here's a sneak peek into some of those questions we'll be firing your way. First up, you gotta pick the winning team. That sounds simple, right? But there's more. You gotta decide if the total amount of goals in the game will be over or under a certain amount, and that's where the real strategy starts to kick in. Next up, you're picking who's gonna find the back of the net first, and you're gonna wanna be careful because that's one that could be cooked early on in the game. And finally, you gotta predict which period is going to be the highest scoring. Will it be a barn burner in the first, a shootout in the second, or a nail biter in the third? That's up to you to decide. Now let's talk about prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? For the daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards to treat yourself to some fresh nation gear, and you might even win a jersey from your favorite team. And for the big dogs, those who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Play now at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.